Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First radio show. Today we've got some interesting guests on. In the first half, we're going to talk to Rhea Racejig, and she's a registered holistic nutritionist talking about the gut microbiome. And then in the second half, we have an author. Her name is Vivian Nantel, and her book is called Becoming the Light. But first, we have Alan with the Health First news.
In what is being billed as the largest genetic study ever conducted, British scientists report they've spotted more than 500 genes that play a role in blood pressure. The research, which involved more than a million people, expands the understanding of the genetic factors that determine blood pressure and could lead to new treatments for the condition, according to researchers from Queen Mary, University of London and Imperial College London. Study author Mark Caulfield, director of the National Institute for Health Research, Barts Biomedical Research Center, said this is the most major advance in blood pressure genetics to date. With this information, he said, we could calculate a person's genetic risk score for high blood pressure in later life. The findings were published September 17th in the journal Nature Genetics. A new approach to preventing gout attacks looks promising for people not already helped by existing treatments. Researchers are looking at an anti-inflammatory drug called canakinumab, or Ilaris, to treat this painful form of arthritis. Instead of targeting excessively high uric acid levels, as existing gout drugs do, the new strategy aims to reduce overall inflammation. The drug goes after a specific inflammatory molecule called interleukin-1. The result was a 50% drop in gout attack risk, the researchers found. But Ilaris is unlikely to be the preventive drug of choice anytime soon, said study lead author Dr. Daniel Solomon. For one, it has not yet received approval for gout treatment in the United States. Also, it must be injected every 3 months by a caregiver. The new research was funded by Novartis, the maker of Ilaris. The results were published online September 17th in Annals of Internal Medicine. If you're a clean freak, you could be inadvertently fattening your children, a new study suggests. The research can't prove cause and effect, but suggests that household disinfectants might be promoting childhood obesity by altering the gut bacteria of infants. Fecal samples showed that 3- and 4-month-old infants regularly exposed to antibacterial household cleansers had higher levels of a type of gut bacteria that squeezes extra energy out of food, researchers found. These babies were more likely to have a higher body mass index and to be either overweight or obese by age 3, the study authors said. The study, which was funded in part by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, was published September 17th in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. Despite decades of warnings about the hazards of baby walkers, thousands of toddlers still end up in hospital emergency rooms with walker-related injuries, new research shows. The study reported that more than 230,000 children younger than 15 months old were treated in emergency rooms between 1990 and 2014. More than 10,000 of those youngsters ended up being admitted to the hospital. Senior study author Dr. Gary Smith, the director of the Center for Injury Research and Policy at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, said baby walkers remain a serious and preventable source of injury to young children and should not be used. The study was published online September 17th in the journal Pediatrics.
We have Rhea Racejig on today. She's a registered holistic nutritionist, and we're going to talk about the gut microbiome. So help us understand the gut microbiome. It's so intricate and so amazing. There's so much that goes on in there. How do you describe the microbiome?
The more we're learning about it, we're just more than a few microbes. You know, we used to have days where we got scared to, be around bacteria and yeast, and now we're just learning we're absolutely loaded. Trillions, if not billions, of bacteria and yeast and microbes and good guys and bad guys all living together in harmony in our gut, which actually stems from our mouth down to our, anus. Like, it's pretty far. Nobody knew it. It's actually the size, Kathy. It's the size of a football field. They're saying 2 tennis courts, a football field. It's like we've got that much, lining in there. We've got that much, our microbiome is that big. It's crazy.
And we've always got the good guys and the bad guys.
It's like a community. You live with good guys and bad guys. Some guys are bad, but they can You know, as long as they live and, you know, and they do their thing and whatever, they could become good. I mean, we're honestly, we live together. They've got some benefit as well for us. So, I mean, honestly, we don't know that all yet. We only know 8% really of what's in our gut. That's all. I mean, it's an ocean. We still don't even know what's all in the ocean. So we'll never, ever really know what's in our gut. But we're starting to understand more that, you know, we're pretty loaded. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And how could it be so unique to each person?
Yeah, we're like our fingerprint is unique. We're unique to each person because of the fact that we, you know, maybe come from different backgrounds. We've got different diversities of life. You know, even where you live, it's in our encoding, and as you can say, our DNA. It's like we're all unique. We're all a different fingerprint, and we all have different microbes. We have some of the same, definitely. Don't get me wrong. But we are all unique, and we need to work with our own microbe, our own gut flora.
Okay. Are there certain nationalities and certain diets that do a whole lot better at keeping a healthy microbiome?
You know what they're saying, that there's controversy. I think that, again, I think it's all relative. I think it's I don't really know how to answer that question because I haven't really looked at that research,
okay.
Kathy. So,
mm-hmm.
But I do believe I don't think anybody's better than the other. I think we're just all unique and we all have our own fingerprint. So, yeah, I mean, not everybody can be a vegetarian, right? Not everybody
right.
can be this. They just have to work with their own, you know, either blood type or just work with what suits them best and really learn to incorporate different foods and a diversity of foods into your diet to feed your microbes.
Mm-hmm. And so our gut lining is changing all the time, minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day. It's never the same.
Yeah.
But how do we nourish it and keep it as healthy as we can?
Well, our gut lining is the most important thing. I mean, I always relate it, Kathy, to, you know, throwing a seed. I'm sure there's a lot of gardeners on the program that, you know, you can't just throw a seed in the garden and expect it to grow. You have to till the soil. You have to nourish the soil. So just the same with our gut, you know, our terrain and our lining, we need to nourish and help support that knitting of the soil. It's one cell thick. We're one cell thick in there. So we really have to look at ways of feeding. And they say prebiotics nowadays, but just, you know, the salad bar is a great prebiotic. That's mm-hmm. just, you know, it helps support our gut microbes. So there's another company that's doing other stuff as well. So maybe later we can talk about that.
Yeah. How would you explain a prebiotic?
Prebiotics are what your gut microbes eat. It's the food that your bacteria and yeast and all other microbes in your gut and fungi, et cetera, eat. Our body actually converts our food, like the salad, our fiber, into a fermented food. Like we need, the microbes need fermented food. And 40% of the diet used to be fermented food all the time. We're coming into it a little bit better, but fermented food is what feeds our microbes so they can create the enzymes. They can create the serotonin that we need, the neurons for our brain health, the enzymes. There's so much that they do here. They do a lot of work, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool.
And what does how does this work? The mood is created by the microbiome, or your mood is affected by your microbiome?
Yeah, both. Both, because our microbes actually create 90% of the neurons we need for brain health, as well as many other messaging and signaling actions in the body. It also makes 95% of the serotonin is produced by our gut microbes, our bacteria, and some yeast. I mean, we produce a lot of things in there. We're producing different things all the time. So, you know, yeah, we produce that. If we're missing it, just adding it is and feed our own gut, and let's start getting them to produce some again. It's really not as simple as that, but it's kind of the naturopathic way, the kind of underlying effect of what our ocean really can do.
So if our guts really aren't happy, it's pretty hard for us to be happy.
Exactly. If they're not happy, you're not producing.
Okay.
If you're not happy, you won't be producing. You won't be doing the job properly. We need to, you know, we've got thousands, if not trillions, of microbes doing a job. If they're not happy, they're not going to be able to do the job. If they don't live in a good space, if there's leaky gut, if there's candida, all kinds of issues, diabetes, et cetera, they're not going to be able to do their job. So we need to look after them.
So this microbiome is a film on the inside of the digestive tract, right from the mouth all the way through, that helps things digest, assimilate, and getting rid of anything that we no longer need?
Yeah, it digests, it breaks down your food, it replicates, you know, one bacteria in every 20 minutes splits off into four. Like within 24 hours, Kathy, there's a number, like a trillion of bacteria, the same strain doing the job. So it's a cycle of life. We produce, God made our bodies to support, you know, make our enzymes so we can break down our food, so we can help our immune system stop that cold or that flu or, you know, whatever's getting in the system, like chemicals in our food nowadays. I mean, we're all flooded. We need to really work with our own gut to help bring those nutrients back so they can start doing the job that they need to do.
Mm-hmm. And Rhea, if we had to be on antibiotics, what would that do to our microbiome?
Yeah, it takes away the bad guys and it takes away the good guys. So we want to either, want to help replace and feed and nutrify our own gut flora. So eating fermented food is definitely a great start to that. Adding some, probiotics, prebiotics, fermented. There's a product called Living Alchemy. It's fermented soy, which is absolutely essential for our gut flora. So we really need to work with that as well, because they take away the good guys and the bad guys. They're good for us, but they have side effects, and those are not nice.
Mm-hmm. And so if we've been on antibiotics, what are some of the first steps we can do to rebuild that microbiome and keep us strong again?
Keep us strong again is maybe add a little bit of fermented food into your diet, maybe some kefir or some kombucha or some sauerkraut, or kimchi or any kind of fermented food. Mm-hmm. And take a prebiotic. Well, eat salad bar, your gut will start to replace it. But I would say take a product called Living Alchemy. I think that would be a really good line. It's called Living Alchemy Your Flora, and that would be where I would recommend people to take.
And so that flora, that's good bacteria in a ferment?
Yeah, it's the bacteria, it's the yeast, it's fermented whole non-organic, organic non-GMO soy, because soy is rich in glutamine and choline and glycine and all these words that people don't understand. But you know what? That actually helps to mend your terrain where all those microbes live. And that's really, really important to work with the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if we have lots and lots of microbes and things are moving through, that keeps the gas and bloating down as well?
Well, if gas and bloating is a sign, it's telling me or somebody here or someone, maybe just if you're going to the health store or talking to someone, that's actually your gut is not producing enough enzymes to break the food down. So either you just eat more fermented food and start making sure they recolonize and regrow your own gut flora, or you take some enzymes to support you and help you. That's really a sign showing me that your gut needs some work, needs some loving. We need to feed your microbes.
Okay, Rhea, we're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we'd like to learn some more tips on nutrition and supplements to help us with our guts and our oral health, okay?
Okay, Kathy.
Okay, be right back.